Today we're going to be looking at mutual love, and I think maybe you've heard that throughout our songs today, about the love that God has for us, about the love that God wants us to allow to pass through us. So as we look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the first 8 verses, if you'll follow along with me as I read. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There is no doubt in my mind, and I hope there is no doubt in your mind either. This world needs to know love. Whether I pick up the local newspaper, a paper from a metropolitan city, a national newspaper, whether I turn the news on TV, which, by the way, I never do. I have found that it bombards me too much with this negative outlook on life. But even as you look at all of those things, you will see that this world needs what? It needs love. In every piece and every corner of this world, it needs love. I'll never forget, and I'll always be thankful to one of my professors. He quoted to us time and time and time again. This one quote of his that he was very well known for. God's love energies continue to pour down upon us, and all we need to do is open up like the flower to the sunshine and allow that love to flow through us to other people. All we need to do is open up like a flower to the sunshine and allow that love to flow through us. That love that God has for us is an all-encompassing and powerful love. It does not require us to get something straight first. It requires us just to be present for God to love us. And God reaches out with that incredible love, that amazing grace, time and time and time again. And the writer of Hebrews says to us, keep on loving. Keep on loving. This love is a continuing process. A continuing process of reaching out, caring for, and looking out for the best interest of others. Listen to that again. Read it. This love is a continuing process of reaching out, caring for, and looking out for the best interest of others. When we see those needs in the world, we need to allow this love of God to come within us in such a way that we cannot contain it, that it flows through us, that it's as though we have this cup and we are spilling it as we walk. And people can come along and step in the puddle of God's love and get wet too. Amen? It should just, as one of the writers in the newspaper from yesterday said, it should just ooze ooze out of us. And the writer in the newspaper asked us, what does ooze out of us? I hope you read that article. If not, I would encourage you to go look in the Enterprise and read that article. The title had the word ooze in it. Caught my eye and I said, I've got to read this. See, God's love should be keeping on, pouring out of us over and over again, looking out for the very best interest in people all around us. Now you may say, well, this mutual love idea is a wonderful and a great idea, but who should I love? Well, guess what? The writer of Hebrews gives us an idea in at least five different directions on how we should be about love. It's detailed in these ways. First, we should be in love and show love to the strangers. Now, so for some, that is very, very difficult to do, because we don't know about them, and we've been cautioned in our world to step back a little bit and be careful. We've been cautioned to be very careful about those that we might see and what might be going on and what might be happening. But I'm telling you, what we need to do is keep on loving and step into the midst of those lives. And be right there looking out for their best interest, whether we know them or not. By the way, the very first thing that this writer is talking about in strangers deals very, very deeply with other Christians. Because you see, in their day and age, there may be people that travel from one church to another and from place to place, and they needed hospitality. They needed to know there just wasn't Motel 6s everywhere, in case you realize that. Okay? There wasn't a Holiday Inn Express everywhere that people could go. And as people traveled and went from place to place, many of these being Christian teachers and missionaries, they needed a place to stay. And they needed someone to show them hospitality. I'll never forget some of the hospitality that I've seen in my life. Stayed in a house in Kenya. The mother of the house was the same age as I am. For 3 days, she was my mother. It was, yes, Mama. Yes, Mama. She told us when to get up. She told us when we were eating. She told us when we were going to bed. But it was all about hospitality, and she did it in such a way that it was so wonderful. She asked me, she said, do you cook? And I said, yes, I do. She said, all right, well, good. She said, next meal, I want you to be in the kitchen with me, and I'm going to teach you how we cook here. And she taught me how to cook something that, as I mixed it up and whatnot, I was like, I don't know about eating this. It was plantain or a variety of bananas, tomatoes, beef broth, onions. And some of you are going, I ain't eating that either. I'm going to tell you what, it was one of the best things I've ever had. It was very, very delicious. And she was cooking some rice, and she asked me, she said, in your country, how you cook rice? And I said, well, 2 cups of water, 1 cup of rice, and you let it boil, and you set it off to the side, and 20 minutes or so, you got rice. She says, okay, next time we cook rice your way. And I said, well, how do you cook rice? And she looked at me, and she started laughing. She said, the same way. But she made me feel so welcomed. And I was a stranger to them. She made me feel so much a part of the family. It was absolutely incredible. I didn't mind calling her Mama for 3 days. Matter of fact, I can't even remember what her name was. We called her Mama so much. She just made us part of the family. That's the kind of hospitality that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. The second one he says is for prisoners. And for us in this country, we put prisoners off in a total, completely category. They've done something wrong, they're getting what they deserve, and they should be there. We need to reach out to them too. We need to reach out to them. And what does it say? The writer of Hebrews says it this way. He says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. a much more powerful statement in their day and age, because Christians were being put in jail. Remember them as though you are right there with them. How can we reach out to them with love? And then he says, remember those who are mistreated or tortured, those who suffer. And the Greek actually says it this way: as though you were in their skin. As though you were in their skin. Not as somebody different than you, but you be them and identify with them and help them, encourage them, lift them up, show them this mutual love. Now some may say, I'm going to stop right here for a minute, because some may say, you know, how long do I have to do this? And the answer is, until the Lord returns. You reach out with love to these people until the Lord returns. You reach out with love no matter who they are and how they are and what walk of life they're in and where they come from in the world, what race they're part of, what culture they've been involved in. You continue to love them, even if they're prisoners, even if they're sufferers, even if they're strangers. You continue to love them. As I was sitting in my office this morning going through what I was going to share with you this morning, the sufferer's part brought back to my mind a gentleman. I was his pastor, and he got liver cancer, and it was inoperable. And I told him, I said, if you'll let me, I'll walk the whole way with you. And he says, I'm going to let you. And I walked with him in a deep and a powerful way. And 4 years ago, he died and went to heaven. And I know he is rejoicing in heaven in incredible ways. But you know, I came close to understanding in some ways what this verse means about being as though you were in their skin. I asked him, I said, well, Lord, would you please tell me as you go through things, what's happening, what's going on for you, and how you feel, and what you're thinking about? And he never hesitated to do that. He told me about the pain. He told me about the anguish. He asked me questions about heaven. And we talked about those things. And here's the greatest thing that happened in the midst of showing him deep and powerful love, that he did the same for me. And in many, many ways, even though he was a plumber, he became my pastor. I could go to him and talk to him about things. And this mutual love happened in such a way that as he suffered, that I was able to be right there with him through it all. It was not easy, but it brought some powerful meaning to my life. As he talked with me about what it was like to be in his skin and share with me about here's, and sometimes he would even tell me, all right, you asked me to share this with you. So I'm going to tell you so that when someone else has the same problem and you sit with them, you can tell them what to expect next. Mutual love. 4 years ago, and I still miss him, became a wonderful friend and brother. And as I tell you, he became my pastor. And he was one of the best I've ever seen. Well, the fourth thing it talks about here, where do we show mutual love? It talks about for the right relationships. It says that we should honor marriage and that the marriage bed should be sacred. There should be no sexual immorality or adultery. That love should happen in the right relationships, in the right way. And some of those relationships have boundaries that we cannot cross. We need to make sure that we keep those sacred and not cross those boundaries. I can still show love to people and mutual love, but there's a part of love that does not get shared with someone who's not my wife. And the writer of Hebrews said, this is just as sacred, and you need to keep it straight. The last thing that he talks about is that we should have contentment in our possessions. He says that we should keep our lives free from the love of money, is the way the writer says this, and be content with what you have. I am at the moment content with what I have and glad that we didn't have more, that we needed to move 4 hours. We've still got one box that we're looking for, so if somebody acquired a box, no, I don't think that happened. We got one box that we don't know where it is. And I've got one paring knife that was my favorite paring knife that no longer exists. I don't know what happened. And then I asked my wife this morning, and I said, I guess all my white shirts got lost when we moved, because I haven't seen one since we moved. And she said, oh, did you forget the hot water handle for the water heater needs to be fixed? I was like, oops, yep. But are you content with what you have? From time to time in our lives, my wife and I have tried to do what we heard suggested one time. When you want something and you desperately feel like you want something, write it on a list, put a date next to it, put it on the refrigerator, and it stays there for 30 days before you buy it. Guess what happens about the 15th day? Many times you decide, oh, I really didn't need that. Are you content with what you have? Can you be peaceful with that? It's hard in the midst of our world, isn't it? Because we turn on the TV and the advertisements tell us what? Oh, we need this. And we look in a magazine and it says you really need this to be successful. Or they come out with a new phone and somebody like your pastor says, oh, I need that. Thank God for 2-year contracts right now. That ends in December. Are we content with what we have? Can we be satisfied with that? It overwhelmed me when I traveled abroad to find out sometimes when people get a napkin, they keep it as long as they possibly can because they don't know when they're going to get another one. And go to one of our fast food joints and watch how many napkins are pulled out of the dispenser in 30 minutes. Are we content with what we have? And the writer of Hebrews says that we can be content with these things because God has our best interest in mind and will always be there for us. God has our best interest in mind and will always be there for us. Two quotes, one from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and one from Psalm 118. Never will I leave you, God says. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? As you allow love into your life and pouring through you, as you allow that love to come in and pour through you in every direction, don't worry about it. God will replace it. God will pour more into your life to allow more to flow out. God has your best interest in mind and will always be there for you. Always. Allow it to flow through you. Now for me, as your pastor, here comes one of the hardest parts in this section. Verses 7 and 8 are the hardest part for me to read. One, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Do you know what that means when I read that? Do you know what that means when I read that? It means that you guys are supposed to watch me in everything that I do, no matter where I am and what's going on. And you are supposed to imitate me. Now, that could be really funny sometimes. We could make that very interesting if you were to imitate me. But the reality of it says, as your leader, I need to look at all of my life. This is not a job that I do for 40 hours a week. I'm a pastor all week, all year. Even if you find me at Walmart, I'm still supposed to be a pastor. Even when the cashier doesn't ring things up right, I'm still supposed to be a pastor. When they get my order wrong in the fast food restaurant, I'm still supposed to be the pastor. And you should be able to watch me and say, I'm going to imitate what he did. I told the deacons already, if they want to know how to be a deacon, watch me. I plan on being an example for them on how to be a deacon. Watch me. That means I need to be very conscious about what I do and how I say things. I need to be conscious on where I go and how I participate at times. I need to be conscious on the things that I say and the mode that I say them in or the mood that I say them in. Because you guys are supposed to be watching every minute of my life, and you are supposed to be imitating me, and for me that is a very scary proposition. Because it means I got to be on my A game at all times. But my plan is, even though I know that I will fail at times, even though that I know I might not say the right thing or do the right thing at times, my plan is that you should watch me so that you know how to live a Christian life. You should watch me and look at my life and see. And I will tell you this. I'm very open to you coming to me and saying, Pastor, you got it wrong. I'm not infallible, and I know that. Sometimes I miss. But here's the exciting thing. Here is the exciting thing. Our leaders should be an example of how to live the faith in word and in action. I know many, many folks that you could watch and you could listen to, and in word they'll tell you wonderful things about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act, but then if you were to watch them, what do you see? And you might hear them say, do as I say, not as I do, right? You know that saying? The saying needs to be about our leaders, do as I say and do as I do. Do as I say and do as you see me do. But here is the exciting thing, that when leaders fail us, it is then that we must remember that Jesus Christ is our most excellent example to follow. It says that what? That Jesus is what? The same today, or the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Jesus will never lead us wrong. Jesus knows how to get every situation and every attitude right. Jesus knows how to reach out with this mutual love that is so important for us to reach out with. Jesus knows how to do that in every situation. So when our leaders fail us, we need to look to Jesus. And what would Jesus do in this situation? And how would Jesus say? And how would Jesus act? I'm very convinced that Jesus will be positive about every situation. I think of those situations where they set somebody in front of him who is a sinner and they have caught in sin. And what does Jesus say? You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. He puts a positive spin on it. It's okay. Let's let it go. Let's move on. Folks, as we love, we need to do the same thing. We cannot buy into this negativism that's in the world. We need to bring this positive love to people. We need to keep on keeping on. We need to keep on in such a way that people know we're Christians by our love. Jesus says on the last night with his disciples, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another so that all may know that you are my disciples. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Folks, we need to be about that love. We need to keep on loving. So here's the question I'm going to leave with you today. Where do you need to start loving? And where must you keep on loving? By the way, I don't know how many of you in here are of the same generation as me, but I remember a saying when I was in high school that said, keep on trucking. The writer of Hebrews says, keep on loving. Keep on loving. And keep on loving. In all directions, in all ways. So where is it that you need to start loving, and where is it that you need to keep on loving? Let's pray. Gracious and almighty Lord, what a blessing it is to see in your word the powerful words that we need to hear deep within our hearts and how we need to walk forward in these ways. Guide us and direct us. Inspire us and encourage us that we may keep on loving, that we may never stop, that we may reach out with this powerful and incredible love that this world needs to know, that we won't keep looking in the same directions that the world looks, but we'll look towards you and then pass on the love that you give to us. First with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then with the rest of this world, because that's what is needed. Because, Lord, your word says that you so much love this world that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live up to the love that you want us to pass through us in so many tremendous ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.